The next two readings are taken from Matthew Gospel chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembly all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" This is the word of God.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Well, it's very difficult these days, isn't it, to plan anything for the new year with Omicron, is it, happening? And we're waiting for news as to what our government's going to do. But anyway, we press on and we plan, God willing, we plan in January to be running a three-week course looking into the faith that we as believers here hold to, the Christian faith in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a three-week course called Hope Explored. If any of you are interested in attending that, please come and see me. Or, if you like, at the back on your way out, you'll see a yellow leaflet. A yellow leaflet, you can see it in the light here. A yellow leaflet called Hope Explored. On the back is some information about it, and there's some contact details. You can contact me, and we can arrange to meet up and we can do this together and find out about this Christian faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to watch something like a 66-second promotional video just to sound a bit more interesting than I am, and hopefully that'll inspire you to sign up for it if you would like to do that. Thank you, Rodney.
There are few emotions more powerful than hope. It's a spark inside you that brings a smile to your lips, a light that shows on your face, a feeling that lifts your head and pulls you forward. These days, hope like that often feels hard to come by. Maybe you've experienced your share of disappointments, but real hope is what the Christian faith claims to offer. A joyful expectation for the future, based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. Hope Explored is a three-session series for anyone who is looking for a hope worth having. Whatever you do or don't believe, this is your invitation to explore, to discuss, to question, to discover. This is Hope Explored.
Well, as we all know and remember, I'm sure that at the end of November, we experienced the awful impact of Storm Arwen. And the Met Office had forecasted a red alert of extreme wind and waves that were coming along the eastern side of Scotland, as far north as Aberdeenshire, all the way down to the Tees estuary here in the northeast. But we felt it, didn't we? We heard it, certainly. We felt it, some of us. Trees were uprooted, they were blown over. Roofs were damaged as the wind ripped off felt. And tiles, we only got our tiles fixed yesterday, was it? Or the day before, something like that. On the M62, 120 lorries were stuck in heavy snow. Railway lines were closed because of flooding and fallen trees. Even the TV show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, being filmed in Abergele, had to be suspended because of the conditions. But here in the northeast, 112,000 homes were without power. Even our own church building here was without power for 12 days. At one point, the workmen refurbishing our small hall, they were doing the work using light from their phones. So we've got to check the quality of that work at some stage. It looks pretty good so far. But that's what they were doing because we'd lost all power. That's what you do when there's no power. When the place is cold and dark, and you instinctively then reach out for some source of light, whether it's a candle or it's a torch or a light on your phone. But people generally don't like to sit in the dark. We don't like to work in the dark. We need light. Darkness can make some of us feel very uncomfortable. It can make us feel exposed. It can make us feel vulnerable. We prefer to be able to see in the dark. We prefer a light to show us where we are, to show us what lies ahead for us. When you read John's Gospel, you come across seven statements that Jesus said about himself as a way of illustrating who he was and what he came to do for our help and for our benefit. We're not looking at all seven tonight, just three in passing, really. For example, he said, "I am the bread of life," or "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." In other words, only Jesus can sustain us. Only he can truly satisfy us when by faith we come to him and we accept him into our lives. It was Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, as he wrote a leaflet or a booklet in the defense of Christian faith, he described the human life, and I'm paraphrasing him here, as each of us having a God-shaped hole which only God himself can fill. He writes this emptiness man tries to fill with everything around him, and none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and unchangeable object, in other words, by God himself. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me," he says, "will never be thirsty." In other words, Jesus is the one that Pascal was referring to. He is the only one who can fill and can satisfy that infinite abyss of the empty and the restless human soul. Another thing that John records Jesus as saying about himself is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Usually when people think about Christianity, they think of it as a sort of a list, you know, a long list of do's and don'ts, like, you know, don't murder, that's not good. Don't steal. Don't tell lies and so forth. Instead, do good. Do love. Do help. And what it is that makes Christianity unique is that we follow Jesus' list of do's and don'ts. But when Jesus says that he is the way to the Father, that he is the way to God, he's presenting himself, a person, as what Christianity is all about. In other words, it's not primarily a tick list of what I did and what I didn't do, but rather, do I know him? Do I know Jesus Christ as the one who brings me near to God? Do I know this unique individual as the one who reconciles me with my Creator again? Because as Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through him, through Jesus. But the third statement of the seven that Jesus said, and it's this third one that we're focusing on this evening, relates to us living in a type of darkness, and of us not then knowing what's certain and what lies ahead for us. I'm not talking about a physical darkness, a darkness that needs Northern Power Grid to send someone to us and, you know, flick a switch and just turn the power back on again. I'm talking about a spiritual darkness. That type of darkness for which God sent his Son to fix. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, do you see there what Jesus is saying? When we don't know him, the person, when we don't follow him, the light, then by default, we are walking in darkness. By default, we are living life blind. Yes, of course, we're physically alive. We are purposefully going here and there. We are knowingly doing this and that, but without having Christ, the light ahead of us, showing us the way to go, without having Christ, the light beside us, comforting us and helping us, then in our spiritual darkness, we don't really know where our lives are headed. We don't even know what the point of life is in the first place when we're walking in our darkness. We are, as Augustine, the theologian and philosopher from the 4th century, described us as, he said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. But Jesus, the true light of the world, came into our world to give us rest. What did he say? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The restless soul, and I think especially the 21st century restless soul that is largely turned away from God and now in the spirit of modernity sees God and religion as outdated, as irrelevant, but still that deeply restless soul is promised the greatest rest and peace possible when we accept Jesus as that light we need. And we follow him. The problem is, though, that in our spiritual darkness, we don't see that. In our darkness, we don't recognize that. In our blindness, we just don't get it. Most of you will know this, but I caught COVID at the end of October this year. And thankfully, I came through it with the help of vaccines and paracetamols and lots of rest. I came through it, thankfully. But I completely lost my sense of taste and smell. It was really weird. I'll tell you this. I don't know if anybody else ever caught it here. It was really weird. I was sat at the dinner table eating what I know is delicious food, and all it seemed like was I had in my mouth this tasteless stuff. It was like a tumble dryer. I was just turning stuff in my mouth and then swallowing it. But I tasted nothing. I smelt nothing. COVID had so affected me, I couldn't smell how good it was. I couldn't taste how wonderful the cooking was. The food was set before me. I had heard that it happened. But I was shocked how much COVID had affected me like that. Now, if COVID had deadened my sense of smell and taste, the Bible tells us that the sin in our hearts, the innate resistance we have towards God, has deadened us to Him. In other words, sin has so deadened, as it were, our spiritual sense, we just don't get it. We just don't see the worth of Jesus. We just don't get how much we need Him. We just don't see how much we would benefit from having Him in our lives. We're so blinded by sin in our spiritual darkness. We don't recognize this good thing we hear in this good news of Jesus Christ. That God so loved this world in darkness, He sent His only Son to us to become one of us and to atone for all the ways that we express our darkness, to atone for all the ways we express our ignorance, our rejection of Him, everything that would exclude us from heaven, all our pride, all our greed, all our idolatry of whatever kind, all our blasphemy, all our immorality of whatever kind, all our lust, all our bad language, whatever it is we do, whatever it is we think. But Jesus came and willingly took the punishment for it. He suffered and died to pay the penalty that all our sin deserves, and which in fact separates us from God. But He did it. And He did it because He loves us. And because He loves us, He wants to see us reconciled to God again, that we might be restored to what God made us for, that we would know God, that we would actually enjoy God, and with Christ in our lives now live a life of purpose that He made us for. Without Christ in our lives, we'll always be at odds with our Creator. We just don't feel right. There's something not right about life when we do not have Christ in our lives. We're separated from God, both in this life and even more terribly so in the next life, when we die and we face God's judgment alone then for our sin. But still, this light of the world shines. This light of the world still shines for those who will come to Him. This despised, this rejected Savior of the world who came into our world of darkness and who came to seek and to save the lost, Jesus is still bringing people back to God. And He still today offers Himself as the only way there is back to God, to all who will believe, to all who will receive Him as their Savior and Lord. As He promises, they will never, never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Maybe some of you remember this story back from 2018 of those 12 boys in Thailand and their coach, their football coach. I believe it was one of their birthdays, and they went as a celebration to spend an afternoon on a sort of adventure. They went down into a cave, But unexpected rising water forced them to go deeper and deeper into the cave, a sort of maze-like cavern. In the end, they actually ended up going 2.5 miles. That's a long way. 2.5 miles deep into a cave, away from the surface, away from the light, away from life as they knew it. They had gone so far away. Apparently, the boys had sat perched on a small ledge of rock with only 6 little torches between them, and each day they spent hours in darkness. There they were, hoping that somehow light and help would come to them. Light and help would reach them and bring them out to safely. And as we know, if you know the story, eventually after 2.5 weeks, rescuers did reach them and brought them out one by one out into the light. I quote, "The rescue effort involved more than 10,000 people, including more than 100 divers, scores of rescue workers, representatives from about 100 governmental agencies, 900 police officers, and 2,000 soldiers, 10 police helicopters, 7 ambulances, more than 700 diving cylinders, and the pumping of more than 1 billion liters of water from the caves were required. Sadly, 2 military divers died from their involvement in that rescue effort. But all of that was done to save those trapped in darkness, so they wouldn't die in the dark, but live. I pray that God would help us see the light of the world this evening is still shining. Shining for those of us still walking in darkness, still sat waiting, hoping. Christ has come. He is able to save. May we see our need of a Savior. And may we see the Lord Jesus Christ as that Savior, that only one, our rescuer, and come to him by faith. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you that you so loved this world, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And he came knowing the mission that lay ahead for him. He knew that he would suffer and die. And yet he came, for he saw beyond his death to those he would rescue. We thank you, Jesus, that you're still rescuing sinners tonight. And you will continue to rescue them till the very last day. So thank you, Jesus, that you're still able to do what you promised us in the Bible. And we pray, Lord, that our friends, our family, those we love, those we care for, those whose faces are in our minds now, would see their darkness and see the light who comes to them even tonight and offers them forgiveness. Hear us, Lord, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's close our service tonight singing, "Hark."